This podcast replay is brought to you by Caneswear.com. For all your Canes, Dolphins, and Heat needs, visit them at 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Free shipping with online orders over $99. Go to Caneswear.com at Miami Fanwear. That's the spot where South Florida fans shop.
We're back. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend. How are you feeling, my brother?
I hope feeling good, though.
Huh? Yeah, I hope better than me. I'm hurting, bro.
What happened with you, man?
Like once or twice a year, I'm a weirdo. Like, so I sleep with these two like hurricane speed fans right in my face, right? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I like to sleep in the cold. And so, but I have to cover my mouth in order to do that and I have to maintain it all the time because if I leave it open and the wind starts going in, boom, I get a cold no matter what. You know, nature be protects me from all the other bullshit outside. But right. That one thing, nothing can protect me from that shit, dude. Nothing. And so I slipped up and I left it open on Friday night. And sure enough, by Saturday, I started feeling like shit. And it's gotten worse, actually, a little worse. But it's not COVID. I tested myself again yesterday. Because okay. Like it started to pick up, and I told my wife, you got another one of those tests? She said, yeah. And so I used another test. I've done it 3 days in a row, so I guess I don't have it, right? Right. I mean, if I've done it 3 days in a row while I'm sick, there's no way it's COVID. Okay, so all right. So it's not COVID, but it's a cold, and it is what it is. So it's hurting the voice now. So I appreciate you coming on early because I need some help, bro.
Hey, brother, I understand. And I owe you one from last Friday anyway, being on the West Coast time and being confused. So I owe you one anyway, but
it's all good. It's all good,
thanks for bringing me back on. I flew home Friday from Phoenix. We had our little athletic, the athletic had their college football meetings out there, which was productive. I played a little 3-on-3 basketball with a few of the guys, the national guys. Did not represent myself well because that 100-degree Phoenix heat, playing 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah.
And the sun was just beating down on everybody. So I didn't play very well, but I did make it back in time to attend John Ruiz's party, essentially the one that he had on the beach with over 100 different athletes. I got to talk to a whole bunch of guys that are under contract with him. And of course, there's the big NIL story going on now, right, where the NCAA is trying to work their way back in and create some rules in place to try to curtail boosters, enticing kids to come to schools with money. And I don't know that you ever put the genie back in the bottle at this point, bro, not after the Supreme Court decision and everything else. So whatever the NCAA does, I think they're in for some fights, some legal fights with some of these organizations.
For sure. It's the same. No matter what's going on right now, what anybody tells you or me or whatever. It's the same thing with crypto. Toothpaste is out of the tube. Banking is not ever going to be the same again. Decentralized banking is going to crush banking all over the world. And that's why governments are terrified of this, because it actually gives the people power. And so eventually you can't stop something like this. And I think that's the same thing here. You've been abusing these kids for many, many years. And I remember, listen, I've been at it so long now, 32 years. I was an idiot 20 years ago because 20 years ago, I was the moron that would make the argument. Well, they're getting an education. They're giving them a scholarship and they can study and set themselves up. But, you know, that naivete doesn't carry you very far when you really look at these kids. And most of them aren't going for an education. They're going because they think they're going to the NFL or the NBA or whatever the hell it is. And they're using you for that step forward. They don't give a crap about the education. And so I don't have a problem with them making money. I don't have a problem with them switching schools. We've watched colleges abuse. We've watched coaches abuse the situations, because when it gets ugly, they can pick up and move and go to the next school and leave the mess behind them, you know, a la LeBron style.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I had a long conversation with Jake Garcia's father on Friday, and you're talking about a guy who was a police officer for a long time. And I asked him, because, you know, Jake's deals are, I think, 60,000 and 80,000 for the next 2 years with Ruiz and LifeWallet. And I asked him, I said, so how long did it take you in your career to get to $60,000 as a police officer? You know?
Oh, God.
And he says, listen, man, he's like, that's the whole thing. He says, I think these kids, in a way, they're being taught lessons that in terms of how to handle money, responsibility, etc. That's part of what they're learning with these deals, paying taxes, everything else that goes into this. And he said, quite frankly, he probably wouldn't be living here if it wasn't for some of this NIL money that helps the whole cause with Jake, you know, being able to help him pay all the bills he needs to pay. And then them living here, they moved with Jake from California and Georgia over here. So,
well, that's a blessing in itself. What the hell? Why would you want to live in California right now?
That no, place, of course not.
Absolute disaster. So, but that in itself was a blessing for them.
Yeah. Well, but people think, oh, okay, well, where does all this money go? They're all buying million-dollar cars. I'm telling you, man, even the car deals that some of these guys have, yes, they're driving Dodge Chargers. Yes, maybe they're driving Beamers, but it's not like they're all running around in Lamborghinis and Ferraris, bro. Like this whole concept of where this money goes and how it's used. A lot of the kids that I've talked to, you know, they're just giving the money to their parents. Their parents don't have much money at all. So they're just sort of handing it over. Hey, here, you know, I'm trying to make it to the NFL. That's what my goal is. Here's the money to help pay the bills for the house this week or whatever. And, so the money's being put to good use, I think, in a lot of these instances. And I know ultimately the NCAA doesn't care about that. This is all a power grab, right? Everybody wants to control the situation. And now Miami's got a big billionaire who is helping a lot of their student athletes out and attracting people to come down here. And, well, that's why the rules are changing, right? That's why all these things are being done. But Ruiz told me on Friday he's ready for a fight. They said they come and tap him on the shoulder. He's ready to prove himself. So from a Miami perspective, I know these NIL rules are out there and people are talking about what's going to happen, what are they going to do. I really think Miami's in a pretty good situation compared to schools that have collectives, which is, you know, the way that they're utilizing the money and the way that they're paying kids and the contracts that they're signing. Those are more problematic than the ones that Ruiz is signing, which is specific to advertising and marketing for his businesses.
Yeah. And listen, you would hope, Ruiz being a lawyer, mm-hmm. that he is kind of, you know, dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's and making sure that he can, like, okay, and he's got all the proof and everything there.
He does.
That way, exactly. And if he's able to, because, you know, it's kind of the whole thing of you worry about who's giving who money, because if it's just a booster that's going out there and buying some kid, again, he may not know all the rules. He may not know all the laws. And then he may end up breaking them. Whereas a guy that you would expect that is a lawyer would actually know all the laws and the loopholes, mm-hmm. of course, so you can take advantage of them.
Absolutely. And I think he's, you know, he's got a whole legal team that checks everything. And from the University of Miami end, I've asked, I said, how's he doing? Basically, everything goes through their compliance office and immediately goes to the NCAA, and they immediately check it. So it's not like they don't have a system in place where there's some safeguards for all this. Now, the issue is going to be enticement, right? It's when does he have these conversations with these potential recruits? The rule states essentially that, you know, boosters aren't allowed to be involved in the recruiting process. So, you know, he's told me in the past he's had conversations with recruits, people who have reached out to him and ask him questions about NIL and so forth, parents, etc., people around the players. Will that get Miami in trouble? We'll see. You know, it depends on what the NCAA can prove ultimately. And ultimately, they're depending on the parents and the kids who are getting paid to turn these guys in if they're sort of crossing that threshold.
And don't forget, folks, if you order at caneswear.com, you order over $99, you will get free shipping. 2511 South University Drive in Davie. Go to caneswear.com and go check it out. Whether it's Dolphins, Marlins, Panthers, Heat, Inter Miami gear, and of course, anything and everything with the UM logo, you can go to caneswear.com and check it out. Go see Brett and all the great people out there. They will definitely take care of you. We'll be out there broadcasting live next Saturday, not this Saturday, but next Saturday we'll be broadcasting live over at Caneswear. All right. So recruiting wise, we had the spring game, right? And obviously some changes probably are going to be made, and players that he was unhappy with and maybe got a tap on the shoulder like, yo, you're not going to get a lot of playing time. So what are we hearing? Any new names coming out of the transfer portal? And we are coming up to the deadline, correct?
Yes. Well, the deadline already passed. That was May 1st.
So, in order, we're done.
If you're an underclassman and you haven't graduated yet and you want to do a transfer, you had to have been in by May 1 to be football eligible for this fall.
Okay, so now it's just seniors? Is that what you're saying?
Now I think grad transfers can still if they choose to leave after the fact. If you're a grad transfer, that's a different rule. This was the one-time transfer rule essentially for underclassmen. If you haven't graduated yet, you can always transfer as a grad transfer. excuse me. They're in on a couple different kids. One of them is Jaylon Robinson, UCF wide receiver, former UCF wide receiver, kid from Oklahoma, who initially I was told he would probably be going home to play for SMU. Now he's visited a bunch of universities. He's going to be coming to visit Miami as well. I spoke to an intermediary regarding Jaylon to ask what's his deal. And what I was told was he's all over the place. So who knows what this kid's going to end up doing. I think he's going to have an announcement on May 18th. But he's a former
teenager, 20, 21
years old kid, you know.
He's 20. Okay. Well,
and this is going to, I think his second transfer, because he was originally at Oklahoma or had signed with Oklahoma and then ended up at UCF. So this
guy's from the Stephen Blake School of Transferring. I got you.
I believe so. Yeah. So, but originally I was told, that the most likely scenario would be he'd be going home to Texas, you know, another Texas Dallas guy, just like Charleston Rambo. You know, he was productive last year, didn't have a great year. I kind of look at him as, you know, an average guy who could come in and be a rotational piece. The one that Miami obviously wants is Jordan Addison, and that's the Biletnikoff Award winner from Pitt, who entered the portal. I've been told, by a couple different people that he's just not sort of returning any interest for what Miami, you know, wants and hoping to get him here. So I think we'll see what happens with Jordan Addison. That's a big national story. But at this point, I don't think Miami's really in the race for him. And then there's also one more guy, another offensive lineman that they're looking at. You know, Mario, he can't help himself. The kid out of Charlotte, I forgot what his name is, but he was a 24-game starter there at Charlotte, UNC Charlotte. Another guy to sort of put in the rotation at guard and tackle. Mario's just looking for the best offensive line he can put together, and as many guys as he puts there. Part of it is to build depth. Part of it is to
you ain't getting anywhere without an O-line, bro. I don't give a shit. Ain't getting anywhere.
So that's
not just the Tua thing, by the way. That's an everybody thing, but go ahead.
Yeah. So those are the transfer portal type guys that could potentially be added here. I think Miami's at 83. When I did my math, I think they're at 83 scholarships. They got two left. And essentially another thing the NCAA is pitching is just make it 85, right? You can sign as many as you want each year, just as long as you're under 85. That's in the process of being ironed out here as well. So I don't think you have to worry anymore about the initial scholarships. You were only allowed 25 before. And then with the transfer portal, they said if 7 guys leave, you can sign up to 7 more. Now it's kind of like, okay, no, there's too many teams that are under the 85 scholarship limit. We need to get back to some normalcy. So that's the initiative being pushed there. So I think in terms of scholarships, you can probably get 2 more guys for this roster for this coming season. And then after that, we'll figure it out.
By the way, let's just wrap it up with this. Can we just call the transfer portal the Stephen Blake transfer?
We can rename it if you want. Listen,
if we think about this, this kid was in high school,
yeah,
and he was ahead of the curve on everybody because he's playing at Killian, and all of a sudden Schaefer thinks he's got him,
right?
And he says, "Nah, I'm gonna go to Miami Lakes."
Yeah,
and you know, obviously Miami Lakes became a monster, and then he said, I'm going to go to Miami High. And then Miami High became a monster. And then Miami High got in trouble and he left and he goes, I'm going to go to Oak Hill Academy. You know what I mean? He was ahead of his time transferring in high school.
Yeah.
From one high school to another. It's got to be the Stephen Blake transfer portal is what it has to be.
We're going to make that push.
He had the foresight, my man.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean,
listen, I don't think a lot of people know about that. That they don't really realize No. About Stephen Blake, how he like manipulated that whole thing, and God bless him, bro.
No, he was one of the first ones. He was the Kurt Flood of the transfer portal, is what he was. Yeah. Right? That's what he was. Nobody has any idea who Kurt Flood is, by the way.
Right? No, that's true. That too. Yeah, yeah.
We're just two old guys talking sports here. Kudos to the guys who can work the system to their advantage, right? I mean, he was the first player to really do that, and now we got boosters that are doing that in the new NIL world. So it's been interesting to watch unfold. I think I'm hopefully to get Mario here on the phone the next week or so. I got to write a couple stories for The Athletic, but I think for the most part he's satisfied with the roster reconstruction that he's done here. Think about where Miami was. How many recruits he added, how many transfers he's added. I think from a mission standpoint of can we meet all of our needs, I think they're very close. They're very close to where they want to be.
All right, what are you working on in The Athletic so our folks can check you out, my friend?
Yeah, well, I had that interview with Malik Rozier, the former Canes quarterback, last week that I promised I would get online. So I'm working on a story on that, and the podcast will be up as well. I'll be sharing some more notes from my conversations last Friday with a couple of different guys. I met a bunch of the new transfers, the kids from UCLA, Caleb Johnson, Mitchell Agudé, all the guys that are the new additions to the roster. I talked to a whole bunch of those guys. So there'll be a whole bunch of content on that. And then state of the program. We have our series every year. If you want to go in depth on every team in college football, we've got our best writers writing these 3,000-word pieces on So I'll be doing Miami and UCF, and that'll be in the works. And I'll probably take a little vacation, man, because this is the time of year to do it before things get really, really crazy.
That's right. You better do it. And there you go. So we'll be the only ones bothering you during your vacation.
That's all good. I always like talking to you guys. Talking to you is like being on vacation, just shooting the SHIT, you know?
That's what we try to do every day here with all our folks. It's just kind of, you know, just a relaxing, shooting the crap conversation. So it is
yep,
what it
exactly.
is.
Yep.
Oh, excuse me. Follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Catch his work at The Athletic and make sure you subscribe. Manny, I appreciate you. Thank you, my friend.
Feel better, my friend. See ya.
You got it. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right. There we go. Welcome back. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend. How you feeling, Mr. Navarro?
Fired up, man. Don't go to McDonald's. That's what I'm telling everybody to do. Don't go there. If you're standing in line.
What'd they do to you?
Oh, man. They gave me the 10:30 deadline, man. You know what I mean? The breakfast deadline.
Oh, really? And you pulled up at like 10:29 and they said no?
I actually pulled up like at 10:25. I was in line and get to the window right as the clock changes from 10:29 to 10:30. And immediately they changed the menu as I'm ordering. And the guy said, sorry, man. We're out of breakfast. I said, dude, you just served the car in front of me breakfast. What are you talking about? I said, I was in line here for 5 minutes. And he said, sorry, man. So I got out of the car. I went and spoke to the manager, you know, and I'm like, listen, man, you're killing me. I'm standing in line. How can you at least not observe the he was in line already policy?
Right.
So they gave me a couple breakfast burritos, but that's all I could squeeze in there. I was trying to get something for my wife and my mother-in-law who were here this morning, and it's just like, you know, can't come home without the breakfast, man. You know, you get that look, right?
Sounds to me like you better go to Chick-fil-A next time.
I think so, man. I think so.
They run things the way they're supposed to run them from beginning to end. Their people are trained right, bro. So I would, and plus I think out of the morning breakfasts, I think that was the best one.
The best one, yeah. But the McDonald's. Are
you,
is just
you're a Chick-fil-A guy too? Yeah, yeah. McDonald's is everywhere. That's why. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I like Chick-fil-A. I haven't had their breakfast quite as often, just because usually it's just I just go there for the chicken. But
right,
not a bad place. But yeah, McDonald's. You fouled up today, bro. You fouled up today.
There you go. Come on, McDonald's. You got to come through. Let's go, man.
If I'm in line, show me some respect if I'm waiting.
You know what you should do? You should take Jafari Harvey with some of his reptiles with
that's
you
what I'm gonna drive do
through and scare the crap out of those people. You know what I mean? And Jafari just whips out this big ass reptile and the guy goes, I'll give you breakfast, I'll give you anything you want. You know what I mean?
that would work.
I'm telling you, that would work. What's wrong with that kid, by the way? What's he doing? Why is he messing with miniature dinosaurs?
He's Jafari's just, you know, he's an interesting kid. They're all a little different. What I found out, by the way, there's a few Hurricanes who have snakes. It's kind of a thing between a few of them where they all have these reptiles that they own. Jafari just happens to have three of them that he's collected. Two of them from teammates that transferred out. So you transfer out, you give your snake up to her.
So he's like the what's our boy down in the zoo? He's the resident, huh? He's the resident Ron McGill of the Kings.
That's what it is. He loves animals. He's always loved animals though. So. Okay. That's his thing. I mean, listen, man, I'm trying to, when I write these stories, I'm trying to get a little personality. You know how it is when you're in a 4-minute Zoom interview or 4-minute, when the guys are sitting there clocking your interview saying, hey, he's only got 4 minutes or 5 minutes. It's hard to get some information. It was good that through some NIL, I was able to get that interview with Jafari and talk to him a little bit more and get to know his personality.
So walk people through that, by the way. Jafari Hari, talk to us about his reptiles exactly. What reptiles does he own, and how much does he spend on rats?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how much he spends on rats, but he's certainly buying them often.
I was hoping that was one of the questions, like behind the scenes, that I was going to be able to get from you. Like,
what I'll tell you is he's got the, like you mentioned, the lizard earlier. This monitor, it's about 4 feet long. That one's a little more vicious than the snakes because he's got a couple of
monitors. The one that took a piece of skin off of him or something, right? Or something like
right, that. Right, right, right. That's the one that he's the only one that'll touch that thing. Basically, none of his other teammates or friends come over and get anywhere near that thing. But yes, the monitor ripped a little piece of his skin off with its claws. And he sent me the videos. He records these animals sort of getting devoured within seconds, and the whole he just loves watching when the snake or the monitor pounces on the little rat. He enjoys that process. So I've got the videos. I didn't share them because I was afraid, you know, that some people complain, hey, this is animal cruelty, but it is the way that they get fed, right? I mean,
it's I know. Just... the only way.
But yes. Yeah, so he's got two big snakes. One's I think a 3-footer, and another one who's about a foot, but that one's only 11-month-old. And one of his former teammates, but like I said, those snakes were from former teammates. The lizard he actually went and bought, and so he drives all the time down. There's a snake store or a reptile store down the street from Miami, and so he goes and he buys his rats there. And he feeds him. He just enjoys that process, man. And I thought that was interesting. I know people have snakes as pets and lizards and all that kind of stuff. But to see a high school, you know, / college football player be doing that for years, and that's sort of something he's always been into, it's kind of an interesting different take. You don't expect to see Jafari Harvey being one of those guys, but that's a big part of his life. He really enjoys it.
Yeah, that's it's interesting. I saw that story and I was like, damn, I got to talk to him about that one because that's that's just funny. All right. I see. I don't know if you saw John Ruiz is he's going to now release like a life wallet for athletes. Did you see that?
He wants
to be able to like it'll have like information for all athletes all across the country, and it'll make I'm sure it's not just for them, but it'll also make it easier for him to track some of these guys too.
Yeah, I think what he wants to do is basically create an NIL sort of worth value for each of these kids, right? Based on their Twitter following and their social media and all that kind of stuff, and their status as players. It's sort of creating a market where everybody gets some sort of dollar value put on them for NIL deals. Remember, his whole thing is, you know, he staggers his pay for all the UM players. They don't all get the same amount. And he bases it off of their NIL value. So he wants to create the same sort of concept. On3Sports, just sort of come along, and they're involved in the recruiting game as well, covering it from all perspectives. They have something similar for that, for all the elite high school kids in the country. This is, you know, his concept. And he told me about this a couple of weeks ago. This was in the works. You know, it's going to try to rank every high school, and I know it's kind of ambitious because there's so many kids that play sports, but I guess if you want to sign up and be involved in it and get your name out there, so to speak, I think you can do that now. And they're creating database to do that.
Yeah, that's I thought that was really interesting, a way of creating a database that, like, this will allow actually even guys that may fall by the wayside a little bit might get more exposure this way. And
yeah,
might even find themselves a home, maybe not at a top tier school, but a lesser school that still may have some kind of a budget for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just it's interesting. It's really interesting. All the things that he's trying to implement, obviously. And again, while he has to navigate through all the, I would imagine, you know, folks that don't like what he's doing and how he's helping the University of Miami in the process too.
Yeah, I think you know, right now he's still viewed as that that booster, right? That billionaire booster who's just around for paying Miami players. When in reality, he's a businessman who's trying to get people to talk about his business and to, I think, put himself in a position. I mean, Ruiz wants to have an influence here on sports in South Florida in one way, shape, or form.
He's already doing it.
But I think he wants to go all the way. He wants to be an owner. He either wants to own a stadium. He either wants to own a team. You know, he talked about this last Friday at his event a week ago when I got back from Phoenix. I was there for it. But he basically got on stage and said, look, I want to buy the Dolphins and I want to buy the Marlins. Those are his intentions. He wants to own a professional sports team in South Florida. That's his number one priority. And I think all of this, you know, money that he has now, I mean, it's not like he wasn't wealthy before, but it's obviously – picked up in value here with the SPAC deal and everything else that he's gone through. Yeah, he wants to be a player. He wants to be involved in helping South Florida teams, and that's his intention. And right now it's through, you know, helping Miami with NIL. It's through using the athletes to, and all of them, it's not just Miami, it's FIU too. FIU has some athletes that are part of his brand, his Life Wilder brand. But, you know, he wants to have an impact in South Florida. That's his goal. And he's got the money to do it.
I'm with you there, man. There's no doubt about that. All right, on the recruiting side, anything, any new developments out of some portal or something? I don't know.
Well, I mentioned the other day that Jalen Robinson kid, the former UCF receiver, would be here. He's already on his official visit. I think he's going to announce May 18th. So there'll be a resolution on that and whether or not he comes to Miami. Again, I was told early on in the process, he's a kid from Dallas, that it would be SMU, and now SMU is not even one of the schools that he's visited. So I have no insights into as far as what he's going to do. He's not a bad player, but at the same time, too, I think given a choice, Miami would certainly prefer a kid like Jordan Addison or some other elite, proven, big wide receiver to bring in and pair in this offense with Tyler Van Dyke as a deep threat. But you know, he's not a bad player. We'll see if he ends up picking Miami, but that's kind of it. And they also offered an offensive lineman from Charlotte. So by my count, I think they've got two scholarships left. I think they're at 83 right now, that they're able to sort of use. You know, Miami still has to formally announce who's medically retiring and who's quitting football and all that kind of stuff. Whoever didn't get into the portal, that hasn't been formally announced by anybody. Right. But you know, I think there's some available scholarships to work with.
The Brandon Innes kid, the five-star kid, and I know it's for next year, the kid from American Heritage. Mm-hmm. And he decommitted from Oklahoma after Lincoln left to USC.
Right.
He's also got Alabama and Ohio State on the list. And I know that he obviously visiting with Miami too. Mm-hmm. You almost get the feeling that this kid is kind of dead set on leaving in a way. I don't know, but what do you hear about him? Because obviously he's
a
five-star kid. And again, you know me, I don't go crazy for five-star whatever. But if he's that highly touted, walk us through what's the deal with him. What are you hearing?
Well, he's the kid I was in the car with him and his parents, right? When I was out in LA and I came on the show, I was driving through the LA freeways with you and was with the South Florida Express. I actually had dinner last night with Brett Getz, who's the head of the South Florida Express team, down at 800 Degrees, D Wade's place over in Aventura. Anyway, my understanding of Brandon, you know, he may end up committing here soon, sometime over the summer, but you know, Ohio State and USC, I think, were always sort of the leaders for him. You know, the teams that I think he was most considering. Obviously, he has a connection already with Lincoln Riley. Played with Malachi Nelson, the quarterback recruit in the USC class. And then, you know, Brian Hartline and what they've been able to do with the wide receiver position at Ohio State has been pretty phenomenal. And I know that from their trip to Ohio State a month ago or 2 months ago now, they were really smitten with the school and just the idea of going there. Miami has he's told me before in the past, and I wrote that in the story I wrote for The Athletic a couple months ago, that, you know, Miami in his mind is a player because, you know, staying home, potentially, you know, watching Miami win big and feeling like, okay, the program's really turning the corner here. I think it's more dependent for if Miami's going to have any real shot at Brandon Ennis. And again, none of these kids can sign until December. So
make some noise this year.
Make noise. That's all it's going to come down to. Look good. Play good. Win the conference. You do that, I think you put yourself in the game. I think right now, because of those other connections that he has to USC, obviously being committed to Lincoln Riley and all that kind of stuff when he was at Oklahoma, and then just Ohio State being Ohio State, those schools are in front. But that's kind of what was expected. The one thing I'll tell you, especially now with the transfer portal, right, and how I think it almost trumps high school recruiting now, like in the sense of because there's so many free agents out there that you can add that are older, that can make an immediate impact. And because so many of these high school kids now are going to a school, spending a year there and transferring, I don't want to say high school recruiting has become meaningless because it obviously is still the lifeblood of a program. But in a lot of ways, the transfer portal has just sort of taken over, you know, as far as being the primary source.
It allows you to shortcut this because you've gotten a shot at watching the kid for a year or two in college.
Right.
So you'll have a much better feel for a kid in college than any kid that plays in high school who mm-hmm. might be playing against overmatched, you know, talent. He might be abusing people and you don't even really get a feel for the kid. So, yeah, I can understand where the transfer portal is more of a quick fix, actually.
And I would venture to say, and Max Olson, who one of our national writers at The Athletic, they've done a phenomenal job tracking numbers and, you know, how many kids enter the portal, how many of them end up finding other places, how many of them just never get out of the portal because there's nobody that wants them. This has become, I mean, we're in a big transition period in college sports. To me, I know we've paid so much attention to high school recruiting in the past, but I hate to say this as a guy who made a living covering high school recruiting for 20 years. It's stupid now. There's no point. There's no point in getting all excited about some high school recruit because A, your coach could change at the end of the year and then all those kids leave. B, a position coach could leave, and that's what springs the kid to leave. In the end, it's almost like we've gotten to the point where, okay, well, who's the head coach this year? Who are the assistants, and what position do they need? And those guys come in, and they have so much more of an impact. So you can recruit these 5- and 4-star guys and get all excited about it in December and February when they sign. But, I mean, when you look at the number of kids getting into the transfer portal now, what's mm-hmm. the point? Why – like, that's like B-level recruiting now. Now it's all about the A-level, which is transfer portal. Right. So I know that hurts to hear if you're a Kane Sports subscriber or an Inside the U subscriber, the guys who cover recruiting like it's nobody's business, right? They get all excited about these kids. But the reality is, like, I don't know. If I was in Miami, I wouldn't get excited about high school recruiting anymore because it's really become meaningless in a lot of ways.
And you recruit a kid that you may never even see him play.
Right. He could be here for 2 years, doesn't play it down, and you're like, oh, well, he sucks. He didn't play it down. Well, no. The way college was supposed to be was you don't play your first 2 years. You're right. A backup or you play on special teams. And, you know, if you're doing it right anyway. But now, I mean, it's just a different game. It's just a different game. And, you know, you look at how many kids have left Miami in the last 2 years that were just signed in the last 2 years. I mean, that list is growing. Like the amount of just quick turnover. Like he was here for a year. He was here for 2 years. He's gone. So I don't know. I think the world of high school recruiting and the way it's been covered maybe for the last 20 years, where it's really been so intensified and, oh, what is this kid thinking? And what decision is he going to make today? It's like, it almost like, talk to me in December, bro. Talk to me when you're going to actually sign the paper, because what's the point about getting excited about some junior right now when he may be at 3 different schools before he ever gets on the field?
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's the reality of it.
Yeah, it is. It is. It makes a lot of sense nowadays. All right. Talk to me a little bit about where you're working on The Athletic. So Canes fans can subscribe and check you out, my friends?
Well, I had a fun debate with Grace Rayner, who covers Clemson for us, and Andy Bitter, who covers Virginia Tech. We're the three sort of ACC team beat writers for The Athletic. And, you know, obviously the story this week was them switching the scheduling, right? Going from, I guess, what's been seven, you know, annual rivals in the ACC to three. That's the plan, to go three and then rotate the other five every 2 years. So you play everybody every 2 years. And it's not one of those things where, oh, we haven't played Wake Forest since 2008 or whatever. Like, if you're in the same conference, you're going to play everybody at least twice in 4 years, and you'll play three teams every year. So we kind of did a little fun debate, and I came up with my list of matchups. Grace did hers, Andy did his, and we went through our thought process of why we paired these teams to play together. The one thing I'll tell people, you know, everybody has this idea of, oh, they're going to be in pods. No, it's not pods. It's not going to be the same three or four teams playing each other. What it is you sit there and you basically line up the best 42 games, 14 opponents, three, you know, 14 teams in the ACC, three opponents each. And you just got to try to get the best pairings, the ones that make the most sense. And my model, I went very heavy on history, right? Like how often these teams have played each other. For Miami, it makes total sense to me for them to play Florida State, Virginia Tech, and Pitt every single year. And people are like, well, Pitt? I'm like, well, yeah. If you look at the list of games that Miami's played, Pitt is third on the list behind Florida and Florida State. That's who they've played more than anybody else outside of their two in-state rivals. So that's how I kind of went about it for every single team.
Didn't we have them in the Big East?
We had them in the Big East, and then as soon as they came over here, it became Miami's, you know, interdivision rival. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of interesting because we always sit there. The other thing I studied was attendance figure. I literally spent 3 days. I mean, this is stupid. When I get involved in something, it's like I want to know all the answers, right? So I've created like 8 different Excel spreadsheets breaking down attendance marks and who fills the stadium the most, which opponent's coming down, and all that kind of stuff. I know we all get caught up. Well, you know, if you're going to – the most important thing is to sell tickets, right? You want the rivals to sell tickets. The reality is you study all that stuff. I mean, Clemson and Virginia Tech, A, they have the most sellouts. They sell out pretty much very often, right? And they're selling out for teams like Wofford, you know, and South Carolina State. And so it in the end, it really doesn't matter. If your team is good, people are going to show up. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. So that whole school of thought of, well, it has to be somebody who, you know, helps bring in attendance. Every team basically averages what they average. You know, it's like Virginia never sells out. They average around 40,000 fans a year. Pittsburgh, you look at Pittsburgh on Saturdays, that stadium is empty or third empty every Saturday when Pitt plays there. It's just too big of a stadium for them, for a college team like them that draws 40,000. So it's kind of interesting. Interesting article. If you've been thinking about that, like what matchups are best and how should the ACC go about this process, that article is up there for you to read. I'm also working on a sort of a recap of the coaching carousel with Bruce Feldman on Mario Cristobal, how he got here, how he put his staff together. That'll be coming up next week. A lot of different things in the works. Ruiz's story that they want me to write. I mean, there's a lot to read there. But I always tell people, if you're a fan of college football, subscribe to The Athletic, because we got so many great national writers and people who give things perspective. It's worth the dollar subscription or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, super cheap, man. So make sure you subscribe and follow him on Twitter at @Manny_Navarro. Manny, as always, I appreciate you, my brother. We will catch up next week, my friend. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
You got it. There you go. That's our Canes Wear Miami Hurricanes report.